Hello and welcome. You are tuned to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Public Radio. I'm Brian Kennedy, and we begin the program with this news update. Inter-party negotiations to form a new government got underway on Sunday evening. Leaders of the Social Democrats, Christian Democrats, and Freedom Union will be discussing a proposal put forth by Prime Minister Stanislav Gross to form a pro-European government with a new Social Democratic Party member at its helm. Mr. Gross has agreed to step down from office on the condition that the coalition members not nominate party leaders for key cabinet posts in the new government. Under the Czech constitution, the prime minister's resignation automatically triggers the whole cabinet's collapse. If Mr. Gross quits, it would be the second cabinet collapse in the Czech Republic in less than a year. Ahead of Sunday night's meeting, Christian Democrat Deputy Chairman Libor Ambrožek, who was one of five ministers to resign in recent days, said that his party would not let Mr. Gross dictate who it would or would not nominate to take up cabinet posts in a new government. Mr. Ambrožek was reacting to the prime minister's demands that ministers who had, quote, undermined the government, presumably by resigning, not be allowed to resume their posts. Police in the town of Sokolov, near the Czech-German border, shot at a driver who had threatened them with a weapon after ignoring demands to pull off to the side of the road. This happened early Sunday morning. A police spokesman said that the driver, whose identity has not been released, has a lengthy criminal record. The 35-year-old Czech man, who is now in custody, crashed his vehicle into a tree after police shot out his tires and then took flight as he was shot by policemen. A new Miss Czech Republic was crowned on Saturday night in a ceremony at the Grand Hotel Pup in the spa town of Karlovy Vary. She is 23-year-old Lucie Kralova from Teplice in northern Bohemia. Miss Kralova received over 220,000 votes via SMS, or the phone text messages. As Miss Czech Republic 2005, the dark-haired, green-eyed beauty will have the chance to represent the country at the next Miss World contest. And finally, the weather. There is still more rain in the forecast over the coming days, with nighttime temperatures dropping to below freezing and even a chance of a little snowfall later in the week. I'm Brian Kennedy, and that's all the news for now.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Public Radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, a fresh edition of Mailbox, a letter from Prague, courtesy of Rosie Johnson, and encore with news from the world of Czech classical music, brought to you, as usual, by David Vaughan. Today, we'll be hearing a rare CD of Bohuslav Martinů's third cello sonata and a newly reissued vintage recording of Dvořák's Fifth Symphony, among other things. So please stay with us as Pavla Horáková now opens this week's mailbox.
Welcome to Mailbox. The biggest international story this week has been, of course, the death of Pope John Paul II. Radio Prague too devoted attention to this sad event, and we have received a lot of responses. This one is from our faithful listener Mary Louise Krennick from Texas.
My words of sympathy are sent to you on the death of Pope John Paul II. His role in the fall of communism definitely had overtones in Czechoslovakia because of your unique relationship in Eastern Europe with Poland. He was a great and saintly man. We will miss him.
And Irene Dever, also from the United States, wrote,
"Being an American but of Slovak descent, I feel a great closeness to my family in such a faraway land. The peace that our Holy Father has given us has united our countries and people together. We pray for his soul and ask him to bless us from heaven."
And a third letter arrived from New York from Thomas Kuker.
"I have read your online articles on the passing of Pope John Paul II. One of the Pope's many accomplishments is ending communism. This achievement is mentioned in the U.S. media as well. Yet in all the credit that the Pope is given for this, I have not read any specifics on exactly what the Pope did to end communism, beyond giving moral support to dissidents opposed to the regimes. Are you going to tell me that this pope was more of an anti-communist than the previous popes? Would the selection of a pope from Eastern Europe post-1948 have hastened the end of communism even earlier? Truth be told, it is not correct to say that communism would have collapsed in Eastern Europe anyway, due to the inherent flaws in its economic structure, regardless of who was pope or U.S. president in the 1980s.
Well, first of all, this is a question that historians and political scientists would probably answer best. In our programs on Radio Prague, we always said that the pope helped to overthrow communism. As a Pole himself, not only did John Paul II provide encouragement to his compatriots in Poland and all Eastern European Slav nations in traditionally Catholic countries, but he also helped to turn the focus of Catholics worldwide towards Eastern Europe. Concerning the Czech Republic, we can mention one important thing the Pope did. The canonization of Saint Agnes of Bohemia just 5 days before the start of the Velvet Revolution in Czechoslovakia in 1989 was seen, if not as a sign, then definitely as an impetus, even in the predominantly atheist part of the country, Bohemia. Now on to other letters. Our regular listener, Jonathan Murphy from Ireland, has sent us this email in response to Ian Willoughby's letter from Prague on why Czechs drive on the right.
Nice to have Letter from Prague back on Sundays. It's a great feature for the end of the week. Great research, Ian. Interesting to learn that the Czechs had in fact intended to make the switch before the Nazi invasion.
On the same topic, we received this email from Sue Toulson from the UK.
In response to your letter from Prague, the phrase "only Britain and some of its former colonies" suggest a handful of places where people drive on the left. In fact, it happens in 53 countries and 22 sovereign states, including such small, insignificant territories as Australia and New Zealand. I'm sure you know why we're in the right or left. All to do with mounting horses with the sword hand kept free.
Thank you very much, Sue, and everybody else for your comments and questions. Please keep them coming. We always like to know what you think of our programs. But now, if you'd like to see for yourselves that Czechs indeed drive on the right, you have a chance to win a free trip to Prague in Radio Prague's annual listeners' competition. To enter, just send us a few sentences on the following subject: what Czech beer means to me. The winner will receive a week's stay for two in the Czech Republic, while runners-up will receive other attractive prizes. The winning essay will be read on all 6 Radio Prague's different language broadcasts. The winner and a partner will be accommodated in family style in the heart of Prague, at the Hotel Falkensteiner Maria Prague, while your flight will be courtesy of Czech Airlines, your travel partner to the Czech Republic. Please send your entries to the following address before June the 15th. Radio Prague, Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague 2, the Czech Republic, or you can use our email address cr@radio.cz. So once again, the topic is what Czech beer means to me. And if you are more into music than beer, then you can take part in our monthly quiz and win a CD of Czech music. The question for April is: the Battle of Prague was once a very popular piece of battle music. It was composed in 1788 in London and published in the same year in Dublin. The descriptive piece quickly gained enormous popularity on both sides of the Atlantic. The author of this piece was born in 1730 in Prague and died in 1791 in London. What is the name of the composer? Please make sure your answers reach us by the end of April at the usual address: Radio Prague, 12099 Prague, the Czech Republic, or english@radio.cz. Že teď pánek pod ten krámek, že potek ti rozbíjí. Že teď pánek pod ten krámek, že potek ti rozbíjí.
Well,
Box is on every Sunday, so if you didn't get your letter answered this week, don't despair. Pavla will be back same time next week with more questions and answers. There's one letter that didn't get in, and that's a letter from Prague, written by Rosie Johnston.
When we heard that the Pope was dead, my housemate Olena and I wanted to go to church and light a candle, and we ventured from the suburbs to find ourselves some suitable holy location. Olena knew of a cloister in central Prague, but when we got there, only the adjoining cloister restaurant was open. We forewent the appeal of a refreshing iced tea and trekked onwards. The trek was very pleasant, in fact. A balmy Sunday afternoon, dodging in and out of the shade in Prague's rat-run little alleys. It was nice to feel like a tourist again, in a city which I far too frequently cross in a flap, an obligatory 5 minutes behind schedule. However, our purpose remained. We were set upon finding a church. This proved surprisingly difficult a task in the other city of dreaming spires. A great deal of the churches we came by were either entirely locked up, or the venue of some classical music concert, which, I'll be poetic and say, wafted on the air. In the end, we arrived at the Lesser Town Square, a picturesque hub of Baroque architecture overshadowed by a towering church. Having shown parents and grandparents around on numerous occasions, I knew that the inside of this edifice was every bit as impressive as its exterior. I also knew that they normally charged an entrance fee, but in this case we explained the purpose of our visit and were reluctantly let in for free. As we had planned and explained to the portly lady at the door, we lit a candle and took to a pew to say a quick prayer. "Your time is up," she curtly informed us, and with that we were unceremoniously ushered out. Many Prague churches are absolutely splendid on the inside, and to maintain this splendour need to charge an entrance fee or hire themselves out for concerts. Others must be locked when there is no service going on, because theft of relics and even church silverware is a very real concern. But is a church marketing itself as a tourist attraction to preserve its original purpose, which is to be a home for religion? Or does a church make a quirky and romantic setting for a concert? Is its original purpose a booster for ticket sales?
Rosie Johnston, a reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, and a warm welcome to all those who have joined us to hear the latest news from Czech classical music. This Radio Prague favourite is hosted by David Vaughan.
Hej, již tento čas jarní raduje se stvoření všelijaké nyní trávička, koření, uvadlo svo mění.
Hej, již tento čas jarní raduje se stvoření všelijaké
nyní trávička, zažívání teplého od slunečka pošeho.
Hello and a very warm welcome to another Encore. I'm David Vaughan.
And I'm Patricia Goodson.
And well, we certainly started with some very cheerful and lively music. And it also sounds, well, vaguely familiar.
That's an old round. And it's not unlike another well-known round, Row, Row, Row Your Boat.
Well, if you could sing that for us.
Ah. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. And this round was la-da-da-da-da. So it's the same pitches. But this one is a little more sophisticated, certainly in the terms of text.
And I gather that they were singing about the wonders of spring, about the trees and flowers bursting into bloom, the birds and the bees and all that sort of thing. No. Larks sawing.
Well, that's exactly what's happening now in the Czech lands. The glorious Prague spring is upon us.
Indeed. And obviously people have been moved to sing about it with great glee for many years.
Yes, well, this song is from the Capella Regia Musicalis, a cancional or a hymn book, which was created by Václav Karol Holan Rovinsky.
Quite a long name.
Yeah, in 1693 and 94. It's a new CD from the Ritornello Ensemble under the direction of Mikhail Pospíšil. And it has a really nice selection of sacred songs running through the church year from Christmas to Easter.
And these were songs that were, well, they were published at the time of the Counter-Reformation in the Czech lands, weren't they?
Right. It was kind of an instrument of the Counter-Reformation against the Protestant Hussites and Moravian Brethren.
And it's quite interesting that this is, well, it's a hymn book, but it's enormous. If you look at the booklet, there are 756 songs, I think, here, and not only songs, but also small cantatas and dramatic scenes, and even, in fact, interestingly or ironically enough, music borrowed from the Protestant Hussites and Moravian Brethren. And most of them are in the Czech language, aren't they?
Yes. And this booklet also says it contains recipes and tips about herbs, which could be true, but the commentary in this booklet is kind of imaginative and fanciful, so I'm not sure what to believe. But anyway, this hymnal is colossal, and it is certainly one of the jewels of Czech musical culture. And it's not so well known outside the Czech lands. Let's listen to another nice one. It's a contemplative piece for the ending of the Sabbath. Piece. Another interesting thing about this hymnal is that it was printed in a large format and was meant both for home and liturgical use, and it could be big because it was official. But there were other hymn books, Protestant hymn books, that were tiny and subversive, because after the Catholic victory at Bilahora in 1620, the Protestants had to go underground, and they used to smuggle in miniature hymn books, and they were called spalichki, or wooden spoons, because of what they looked like.
And so they were an early form of samizdat.
Exactly.
So let's now jump ahead a few hundred years and turn to another new CD of cello sonatas by Martinó and Brahms, performed by the cellist Jiří Bárta and the pianist Jan Čech.
Yeah, this is a wonderful new recording on a quite obscure label, Tonos Classics. And our CD supplier said he had a really hard time getting hold of it, which makes it all the more interesting, at least for me. It contains Brahms' E minor sonata, which is the first of his two, and Martinu's third and last cello sonata. So let's hear a bit from the first movement.
And that was cellist Jiří Bárta and pianist Jan Čech in a bracing performance of the opening of Martinů's third cello sonata. Tell us a little bit about this piece.
Well, Martinů wrote it in 1952 when he was happily on a holiday in France. His wife was French, and he had lived in Paris before the war. By this time, he was already living permanently exiled in America, but he had this chance to spend the summer in France and quite enjoyed it and wrote this beautiful piece. This sonata is the best known of his cello sonatas, but even so, it's not so widely played as it deserves to be. It's good, typical Martinů, straightforward and fresh, and Jiří Bárta, who is one of the finest Czech cellists playing today, gives a very fine performance, as does his partner Jan Čech. And incidentally, this morning I found out that another recording of this has just been released by another excellent Czech cellist, Jan Palinicek, and his wife, pianist Jitka Čechová. So that's another source for this lovely piece.
So maybe we can review that at some stage as well. And now we go over to something completely different, although it does come from the same year, 1952, a recording of the Czech Philharmonic playing Dvořák's not-so-well-known Fifth Symphony and the Slavonic Rhapsodies, which, unlike the Slavonic dances, are also not particularly well-known.
And neither is the conductor, Karl Scheina, who was a permanent conductor during Karl Anschall's tenure. It looks like I was in the mood for obscure recordings when I went to pick these CDs out. Supraphone has just reissued this, and surprisingly, the sound quality is excellent. Let's listen to a little bit of the second movement of the symphony.
That's a lovely sound, isn't it, Patricia?
Oh, it's so beautiful. The Czech Philharmonic is famous for that wonderful, sensuous, warm string sound. And you can see the tradition goes way back.
Yes, that's from 1952, you say.
Yeah. And it's funny, the piece, since we talked about the round at the beginning of this show, this piece sounds a little bit like Tchaikovsky's Piano Concerto when it starts. La-da-da-da. Same deal. And they both went in quite different directions with that.
Well, I'm afraid we're running out of time. So thank you very much, Patricia Goodson, for joining us today. And don't forget that you can reach us by email at english@radio.cz or by snail mail at English Section, Radio Prague, 12099 Prague, the Czech Republic. You can find out more about these CDs on our website, www.radio.cz. And before we go, well, we'll leave you with something more from the Dvořák CD that we were talking about just a minute ago. Here's the first movement of Dvořák's Fifth Symphony. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Listeners in Northwest Europe can tune in at 0700 hours UTC on 9880 and 11600 kHz, at 1030 hours on 9880 and 11615 kHz, at 16 and 1700 hours on 5930 and 17485 kHz, and at 2000 hours on 5930 and 11600 kHz. In Northern Europe, you can hear us at 1030 hours on 9880 and 11615 kHz, and at 1300 hours on 13580 and 21745 kHz. Listeners in West Africa can listen to Radio Prague at 0900 hours UTC on 21745 kHz. Listeners in Central Africa can tune in at 1700 hours on 5930 and 17485 kHz, or at 2130 hours on 9880 and 11600 kHz. In Eastern Africa, tune in at 1300 hours on 13580 and 21745 kHz, and at 1600 hours on 5930 and 17485 kHz. In the Middle East, listen at 0330 hours on 9445 and 11600 kHz. Listeners in Southern Asia can tune in at 0900 hours UTC on 21745 kHz and 2000 hours on 5930 and 11600 kHz. In Southwest Asia at 0330 hours, listen on 9445 and 11600 kHz. In East Asia, listen at 2000 hours on 5930 and 11600 kHz.